Jesus loves me, this I know. I think that's part of the root of the sixth commandment. Because God loves us so much. He loves life. He loves every one of us. He sees us individually. He knows us, who we are. And He treasures life. This morning our focus is on the sixth commandment. If you're visiting here today, you might not know that we are in a series of looking at all the commandments. And not just reading the commandments, but a deeper look at the heart of God as He expresses the commandments to us. We're going to start out today, as we have the last few weeks, with a very short video played twice. Then we're going to talk about this commandment. I'm going to talk a little bit about the painful side of our world. And then I want to talk a little bit about how God may want us to respond in a world full of violence and hatred. And what does God say to us about that? And then Shauna's going to come in and share regarding expectations, women center. So we're going to watch this video through two times, and we'll start there.
Today, I am unreal. Look, I know it's wrong to commit murder. I mean, come on. It's not like I'm going to actually do it. But sometimes there are people that can really hurt you. And they keep on hurting you. And I hate that. And I hate them. And I get so mad, and I hate them so much, that I can actually begin to understand how that can lead to murder. That's when I realize that hatred is killing me. Today, I am unreal. Look, I know it's wrong to commit murder. I mean, come on. It's not like I'm going to actually do it. But sometimes there are people that can really hurt you. And they keep on hurting you. And I hate that. And I hate them. And I get so mad, and I hate them so much, that I can actually begin to understand how that can lead to murder. That's when I realize that hatred is killing me.
And that's when you realize that hatred is killing me. When I think about the sixth commandment, this is the one that seems to me the most obvious, and it's kind of the one that I expect that we all would not have any question about or issue about. Thou shalt not murder. You shall not kill. But I also realize that when God gave us all of the Ten Commandments, He gave us not only an external measurement or a way that we can kind of look at whether or not we are doing what God wants us to, but God also is driving at something much deeper in the human heart. When I think about this commandment and where our world is today, I'm sure that all of us would throw up our hands in exasperation and disappointment and sorrow at the amount of hatred and violence and murder that takes place in the world around us. I also realize in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus preached in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, Jesus talked about a whole bunch of topics, and the first commandment that Jesus mentioned in His teaching, of all the things that Jesus could have talked about, the first commandment that He speaks of in the Sermon on the Mount is the commandment about murder. It's in Matthew chapter 5. I'd like to give you a moment, if you want to read the words of Jesus with me. What did He say about this commandment? Well, Jesus had a way of quoting the commandments and then going deeper to the heart of the commandment as He teaches. And in the Sermon on the Mount, it's like that. He quoted it just the way it was, but then He went deeper into the human heart as He wanted to explain to his disciples and to the crowd that was there in the Sermon on the Mount what it is about this commandment that spoke to their hearts and that he wanted to communicate to them. And I would say, as I've said about the other commandments, this commandment is about the heart. It also has certainly ramifications and implications about behavior and what we do physically, externally, and that's important too. But as Jesus talked about the sixth commandment, he reminded us that this commandment is about the heart. It's about how we view people. It's about how we look at relationships. It's about how we deal with problems in life. And so, you know, my first look at this might say, well, you know, this commandment isn't a big deal for me. I don't have any trouble. Not that I've never been tempted, but, you know, I've not really lived that close to where I feel like I want to kill someone. But I can tell you when I read Jesus' words, it hits a lot closer to home about where I'm at and where we are and how we deal with life. This has a very practical nature to it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to begin reading at verse 21, in the first chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, thou shalt not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. Listen, anyone who says to his brother, Raca, is answerable to the Sanhedrin, but anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still with him on the way, or he may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. I tell you the truth, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny." So it's as if someone said to Jesus, or somehow his mind was prompted, okay, as I'm teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, I'm going to talk about the commandment, thou shalt not kill. So what am I going to say about it? What am I going to say to the people who are gathered here on the hillside at the northern end of the Sea of Galilee on that day to listen to the heart of God? Well, I believe what Jesus would say is this commandment is about valuing people. Valuing people. Attitude toward others are so important. Our attitude toward people around us are so important. The beginning of this commandment is just the idea of the approach of how we view people, how we think about people, what we have in our hearts toward the value of another person and how we treat them. Jesus almost, well, he did, he went right by, thou shalt not murder. You've heard that. You know that. I kind of think Jesus might have been saying, you know that. Those people are here today, and I would say, I could be wrong, but I imagine everybody here would say, yeah, I know that, I feel that, I believe that. And Jesus would say, yeah, I know you do, you got that down. But now I want you to think about your heart, the attitude deep inside. How do you look at other people? How do you treat people? How do you deal with life issues that are there? You see, I believe that God values life so much. He values physical life and the breathing and the blood flow and that living nature of who we are. That's life to God, and that's important. But also life to God is the emotions and our experiences and our relationships and how we deal with life. All those things are important to God too. And so when he says to his people, value life, he's talking about valuing physical life, but he's also talking about valuing the quality of life and people and their needs. God's people are to value the lives of other people. God is the creator, the giver of life. We might ask the question, well, why should we value life? Well, one thing that's obvious is that God is the creator. He made us. He made man and woman, becoming a living reality. You know, when I think about God making us, I realize that we started somehow in the imagination of an infinite God. Somewhere back there, God had this idea, if you want to call it an idea, God had this thought of the human race. And he thought, what did he want to create and how did he want to make them? And what did he want them to be able to do and accomplish? And how did God want them to be able to relate to him? God, the creator, that all began, this living reality, way back then before God made us. God is a creative God. He thought of you and I before we were made. He thought about what he wanted in humanity before we came about. God, Genesis chapter 7 says, God formed the man from the dust of the ground. I'd like you to think about that, if you would, for a moment today. From the dust of the ground. Do you know that you were made from the dust of the ground? Now, we know that genetics and the birth, the baby in the womb and the birth and all that, we don't see a lot of dirt and dust there. But when we finally are broken down, we are made up of the same thing that the soil is made up. God took, literally, it says, the soil of the ground, and he fashioned man physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, your mind, your heart, your capacity to relate. That comes from the dust of the ground. That's incredible. I mean, if you looked at dirt lately, it might not seem so impressive to you, you know? Go out and take a handful of dirt and say, wow, I'm from something like this. And we know dust to dust and ashes to ashes. You know, if you've been around, you know what happens to the body. It decomposes and it returns to the dust of the ground. It's a reality of how we're made. God made us that way. Somehow, from that dust, he created life. Incredible, amazing. Some people think, boy, it's just hard to believe that God's the creator and he made us. But man, look at what grows out of the soil. Grass and trees and bushes and all the things that come out of the soil, and so do we. God created us out of his amazing creativity. He created life. That is pretty amazing. We should celebrate the Creator and how God could do such a thing. Something else, the way that God made us. God not only made us out of the soil, but God made us in the image of God. Think about that, in the image of God. Whatever that means, the image of God. You were made in the image of God, every single one of us that are here today. There's something about how you were made, and it says two things in the first two chapters of Genesis. It says the image of God. In fact, he says in one of the verses, in our image. Let me read verse 27 first. It says, so God created man. Well, let me go back to the prior verse. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And then in 29, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Think of that. You are made in the image of God. There's a reason for that. Every life is precious to God. Not just the physical breath, but who you are and what you are was in the image of God, and he cares deeply about you. God had you in mind when he created you. Whenever he allowed that genetic chromosomes and the sperm and the egg to come together in the quadrillions, trillions of possibilities of those chromosomes, God used that to create you. Think of that. Of all the possibilities out there, of God's amazing plan of creation, that you exist today as you are. If one of those chromosomes was different, you would be a totally different person than you are today. How can you help but believe there's an amazing, creative, powerful God that made you and created you? God made you in the image of God. You are special to God, and so is every other person on earth. I know in our circle of influence, we have people that we love and we cherish and we care about and we know and we rub shoulders with, but every single person is made in the image of God and valuable to God. So life is special to God. That tells me also that our lives are created with purpose, with meaning, with value. God just didn't make us for us to live out 70 years or so and be dead. He has purpose for us, and he wants us to enjoy life. All, especially through the Old Testament and the early parts of the Old Testament, God is saying that he wants you to enjoy life. I'm giving you life. Cherish it. Don't take it for granted. Get the most out of it. The older I get, the more I want to say to young people, don't waste your life. It's valuable. Don't waste it. Know who you are and what God wants you to do with your life, and find that purpose in your life, because your life is important to God. God wants us to enjoy it. Jesus said this. He said, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus understood that. A lot of things that he said in the Gospels was about enjoying life and having a good life and finding purpose and meaning and value in life. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. God cares deeply about everything in our lives. God also created us to have everlasting life. God created us different than all the creatures of the earth. God created us differently than everything else that he made. He made us to have everlasting life, a soul. He created us with a soul. The Bible describes that God has made us as spiritual beings, just as we have a physical life. We also have a spiritual life. And we have all these things about us that make us unique from the animal kingdom. And one of them is that we are created for everlasting life. God desires to have an everlasting relationship with us. God highly values each one of us in life. And so as I think about this commandment, I naturally think about, well, do we need this commandment anymore? Is this one that we should kind of take out of our courthouses and take out of our thinking? And obviously not. I don't think anybody would say that. It's a commandment that has so much value to our culture and our world. And so we ask the question, how are we doing with this commandment? How's mankind doing? Are we progressing? Are we getting better? Are we becoming morally better at valuing life or not? School shootings, nightclub massacres, police gunned down, gang violence, hatred, rage. How's our scorecard as a human race? Let's start with the 20th century, or more specifically over the last 100 years. According to statistics that I read on the internet, 123 million war deaths in the last 100 years. 123 million people have died because of war in the last 100 years. How are we doing here in the age of enlightenment? How are we doing as a world? 19,780,000 estimated murders aside from war in the same amount of time. 19 million. How are we doing in the United States? I mean, we are the country, we are the people with the right foundations philosophically and what we believe. Well, how are we doing in the United States in this moral superiority? 2016, we had 17,250 murders in the United States. 60 million abortions since 1972. I think of the song I learned as a teen growing up, life was filled with guns and war and everyone got trampled on the floor. I wish we'd all been ready. I've really been wrestling with what to say in this sermon because I don't want to stop here, and yet there's something that we need to be reminded of the way things are in our world and our country. What does God say to me about these statistics? What does God say to the church? What does God say to us about life? What can we do? What does God want us to do when we see how horribly mankind has fallen? Well, we realize the truth of Scripture about the heart of man, for one thing. And that the heart of man is inclined to evil. It was beginning with the sons of Adam and Eve, and it was in Noah's day, and it is today. So what does God say to us about this commandment? I guess the first thing that comes to my mind is that all of us need to be so careful about the attitude of our hearts before God. God cares deeply about our hearts. and how we treat people, our attitude toward people in our lives. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Everything you do flows from it. If your heart is right before God, and you keep your heart tender before God, then God will help you to know what to do. God will help you and guide you in your life. Another translation says, for it's the wellspring of life. The wellspring of life. God cares about your heart. And these things that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 about conflict and what do you do if you have a problem with your brother, all those things are so real and practical in the mind of God that falls under this category of this commandment, and that is that we should be the people who go out to resolve conflicts. We should do the things that are right. Seek justice and mercy wherever and whenever you can. I know this is a very general category, but I've said before and shared that my life verse and the scripture that probably engages me more than any other comes from the Old Testament, the book of Micah. It says, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee? What does God ask of me in my life as a Christian, as a man, as a pastor, as a husband? What does God want for me? And it comes down to these three things: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. God, help me to do that. Help me to seek justice in a world that's broken and hurting. Help me not to turn my mind and my heart away from world problems because they're not invading my circle of influence. God, help me to know what I can do and should do as a citizen of the kingdom of God about injustice in our world. And we have it, and we have it close to home. And there are opportunities that we can have to reach out and help people and to bring justice and to vote and to pray for our leaders, to do justly. The second part of that is to love mercy. Somehow we have to understand that God is merciful. And the only reason that God has waited and why hasn't God brought this world to end? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he's a patient God, and he's a merciful God. And God's able to give mercy when we probably don't have it within us to do so. But to understand the mercy of God is so important to us, that we understand that God gives us mercy. We don't deserve it, and neither do people deserve mercy around us sometimes. But God calls us to be a people that love mercy and are merciful. Jesus said, blessed are those that are merciful, for they will obtain mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I want to read a scripture from Isaiah chapter 58. Listen to the heart of God about justice and love and mercy. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen, to loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked, to clothe him? If you do what the yoke of oppression, with a pointing of finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs. This commandment reminds me of the importance of having mercy and care for people that are broken and hurting out there, to value life. And then thirdly, from Jesus' words, resolve your conflicts. God calls us to humility. God calls us to forgive. God calls us to let go. He also calls us to repent and turn away from things inside of us that are displeasing to him. God calls us to self-examination. God calls us to reach out and care for others. And then lastly, to say this morning that God calls us to take every opportunity to value life. Don't let opportunities go by without valuing the people around you and showing the high value that they have in the eyes of God. Value life of every age, of every color, of every culture, of every status in life. Do not fall into the lies of the enemy that would tell you that certain groups of people are better than others in God's eyes, or God cares more deeply about a certain culture, a certain race, or a certain people. Don't fall into that. Understand the heart of God and cherish life, cherish people, do things that value the lives of people. Say words that value the lives of people. There's so many people that we have an opportunity every day to value. I'm thinking of the older folks. As my mind was going through, as I was praying about all the people that usually sit right in over there, and there's nobody there today, and I'm thinking all those precious couples, mostly older people that aren't able to come out in the winter, and thinking how lonely they can be sometimes, and how important it is for us to remember them and reach out to them and show love and care for them. We show care for the lonely, people that are hurting, people that do not have someone, or people in their lives do not have family, maybe not a spouse, maybe not someone that they can share with, maybe young people who are lonely and need relationship. How do we value life? By caring for people. How do we love, how do we help people on the journey with their care and love? Babies and children, we celebrate life. We celebrate adoption. We celebrate helping mothers and families in needs. We celebrate mothers and fathers and families and doing all that we can. And Sean's going to come and share in just a minute about that. We meeting the needs of women, and this seems to be so key to me of what we talk about and with Expectation Center. I love the fact that they're focused on babies and the unborn and helping women so that they are able to give life to a child, but also that they care about the women themselves and their needs and their hurts and their lives and their problems. And I like that about Expectation Center. Jesus treated people with patience and kindness and forgiveness and dignity. He tried to lift them up. He spoke the truth in love. But he always was reaching out to encourage and help them. He valued life. And so the last thing I can say about this commandment is, hear the words of Jesus, seek to be like him, value life, value the people around you. Sean, I want to invite you to come and share about Expectations.
Good morning. It's hard to believe it's just about a year ago that I was standing before you and sharing my first time about Expectations and how I got connected there. And it has just continued to be a place that I'm really grateful for, that God has seen fit to call me there to engage in the work that we do every day. And he is so faithful. And it's hard even to know where to begin to share of his goodness and how he is just allowing us to minister to women and men and families and children. But I'll do my best in the time that we have this morning. But do just thank Pastor so much for your message this morning. And you know, that is a challenge for all of us. You know, how do we value life? How do we share that each of us, there's an abundant life for each one of us. And so I'm just going to begin. You know, we've continued to see clients. Obviously, that is our main focus, just seeing clients in our centers, women who may be facing an unexpected pregnancy, men also. We don't want to forget about them. They are an important piece of that decision-making process as well. You know, the way we've been able to minister to just parents who need that extra support, you know, trying to understand how to be the best parent that they can be. How we've ministered to grandparents who have custody of grandchildren. That might be a population of people that you've never really thought about, who may be going back to those parenting days, but things have changed, the challenges are different, and they may just need some extra support. How we've been able to minister to young people, not only in pregnancy situations, but also just teaching them about healthy relationships, connecting with them. You know, just how challenging it is to be a young person these days, and the pressures of society and culture and social media and all of those things, and how young people are just looking for a place of, you know, finding their identity, a place to belong, who am I? What was I made for? Why am I here? And so being able to have those conversations in school settings, in other community youth group settings has been an awesome outreach and something that we really want to continue, which I'll share a little bit more about. But yes, our heart, our primary purpose is to meet women and men in those unexpected situations. And so I just want to share just a few stories. And obviously, we've changed names of clients just to protect their confidentiality. But we had a client, Amanda, who called our hotline. And when she was asked how we could help her, she responded, "I don't know, but I hope that you can." And it was obvious, even over the phone, that she was struggling to keep from crying. She had just learned that she was pregnant and said, "Things are falling apart." And we invited Amanda to come and to talk to us, and she arrived within the hour. And the calm, caring voice of our client advocate, a cool drink of water, and a comfortable place to meet opened the doors for a very meaningful conversation. She had come undecided about whether to continue her pregnancy, and she left saying that she would carry to term, and over the next few months, she wanted to explore her options of parenting or adoption. Those are the carrying options. And the client advocate was able to share the gospel with Amanda and remind her that she is dearly loved and that God has a plan for both her and her unborn child. And then we also had the opportunity, these are just snippets of things that God's doing and clients he's allowing us to connect with, but we had two women who've been highlighted, just who were very seriously considering abortion and also experiencing just a lot of fear in their situation. But at Expectations, they found warmth and the truth of God's love. And I wish that I could tell you that both of these women have chosen life, but I'm not able to do that. Maybe by now, but at the time that this information was shared, they both were undecided. And in the midst of their struggles, they both, have expressed sincere thanks for the kindness and the information that they've received at Expectations. And of course, we pray that that they do choose life and they rest on the promise, we rest on the promise that God's word will not return void, that it will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. And we have the opportunity to remain in touch with women who are still undecided, to check in with them to see if there's more that we can offer, just encouragement and just continue to pray that their hearts will be softened and that life-giving choices will be made. And I think that's such an important thing to remember about Expectations is, that we're an educational resource center to allow women and men to make informed decisions about, an unexpected pregnancy. And I'm not sure, because these stories are shared with us a little anonymously, I guess. But I am aware of, and I don't know if it's these particular women, but I am aware of two other women, and I'll segue into just a little update here about ultrasound. I had shared with you last year that this was a new arm of our services that we were going to be adding for clients. And we have come a long way. God has been so good. We've been able to hire a nurse manager, and we have another volunteer nurse who's trained and able to help us with ultrasounds. We do have a volunteer medical director to read our ultrasound reports and oversee what we're doing medically. We do have an ultrasound room that's set up, and God provided the funds that we were able to purchase an ultrasound machine back in October. And the nurses are able to get their hands on training to become proficient so that we can soon offer this as an established client service. Right now, we're still in their training process, and so we're just inviting women to come in as medical models for the nurses to be able to experience using the equipment and learning what they're seeing on the scans and being able to read those and determine those important things like, is a woman really pregnant? Is it a viable pregnancy? How far along is she? Those are important questions that a woman facing a pregnancy decision needs to have answers to. And then, of course, there's a whole lot of policies and procedures that we've been working on as well. So while I say that we're in the training stage and we're looking for medical models to come in, we have also been able to, some women who have called who have been in that situation, it's really awesome now because we can offer that to them, not as an official client service, but they can come in. We can offer them to come in and be a model where they still can get an answer to that question. And so it's been neat to see how God has opened up a handful of opportunities already to do that. And again, one, we're thinking based on a secondary conversation has seemed to make the decision to carry. Another we're not sure about yet at this point. But just the opportunity to even offer that, is so awesome for us to be able to do. And so we're excited to see how God's going to use that. Our nurses need about 75 scans apiece to be considered proficient, and they both have well over 50 now, so we're getting closer. So just very excited about that. And I just wanted to share, too, I know that a day like today, talking about the things that we're talking about, can be difficult for all of us, but sometimes it can be more difficult for others. When you see an image of a fetus on the screen, when we talk about and linking that commandment that Pastor preached on with the idea of abortion, that can be very painful, because there are women, and there is the very real possibility that even here in our congregation, there are women who have experienced an abortion and have never been able to talk about it. And so I want to be sensitive to that, and I want you to hear me that expectation serves women no matter what their decision is. And so if there is a woman who, maybe she didn't have that information, that really could have been helpful for her. She made the decision that she felt was best at the time, or maybe there was just a lot of pressure from other people, and that's what ended up happening, that we are here to love and care for women who've made that decision in our post-abortion ministry that we have. And so I just want you to hear our heart in that too, and that if you're sitting here and that's something that you've been carrying that you've never been able to talk about, that expectations is a place that you can go to do that. Or if you know of anybody, family members, friends, who might share that with you confidentially, that you could encourage them to seek some help and support for some things that they may be carrying, some emotions they may be feeling, and struggles that they may be having with that decision. So that's the restoration piece of our ministry. And as we see clients, that's the intervention portion of our ministry. And we also have prevention, and I want to share just a little bit more about that. You can go on to that next slide, Crystal. I'm going to jump around here. So the prevention portion of our ministry would be that last bullet point, educating more youth on healthy relationships. That is one of our goals, to just increase those opportunities. Like I said, the pressures that young people face, and just searching for identity, belonging, and purpose, really affects how they connect with other individuals. And, seeking something, they're longing for something, and they're seeking, and they're looking in the wrong places, looking in the wrong activities for those things. And while the reality is that teen pregnancy, and I don't remember if I had shared this statistic last year at all, but the teen pregnancy rate over the last couple of years has significantly decreased. However, there has been a significant increase in the rate of STDs among young people ages 15 to 24. So there's still a problem, and there's still things that need to be addressed there. And so we have a program, a curriculum that we use. We can use it in-center. We can connect with schools and, like I said, other youth groups, youth ministries, to educate young people on those things and to try and establish a better foundation for them in their relationships. So other goals that we have for this year, of course, we want to see more and more clients because we know that there are more out there who really need what we have to offer. We've made it through this year of relocating our Lewisburg Center, and so our Williamsport Center has a for sale sign in front of it. And we are looking to relocate that center as well, so that we can provide ultrasound services there. Right now, Williamsport, you know, people can come down to the Lewisburg Center, but we really want to be able to offer it to them where they are. We also want to just work on developing community awareness. Again, we've been around for over 26 years now, and there's lots of people who've never heard of us, don't know that we're there. And so just getting ourselves out in the community, connecting with other agencies who may work with families that could really use the services we have to offer. And also just wanting to develop stronger connections with our supporters. So our churches and other individuals, we really value our churches and businesses and individual donors that support us, because we don't receive any government funding. It's all those private donations that allow us to offer everything free of charge to our clients. And we think that's pretty awesome that we can do that. But it's because of you guys and the help that you give in those areas. And then we also want to grow our volunteer staff. We have a lot of gaps in our schedule right now that could be filled. I'm going to want to share a little bit more about an opportunity with you there for that as well. But Crystal, you can go on to the next slide there. So a little bit of a faith challenge. You know, Pastor was saying we all need to do something, you know, and sometimes we can get stuck in that. Well, I believe this is important. I believe that Jesus has come to give abundant life. Yes, I believe life's important, you know, and that's just one belief. You know, there's certainly many others. But, you know, James talks about how, you know, there's that important doing part that really expresses that belief, and that for our faith to be real and alive, we have to be doing something and acting on what we believe. And so I just want to challenge you, you know, to really be seeking God's heart with that, allowing him to challenge you. I know I'm not in my comfort zone at expectations. I can say that. But I was excited when God called me, because I knew it was an opportunity to be stretched, to be challenged, to be more dependent on him in ways that I probably have never had to be before. And we can get so comfortable, and life can just... you know, we can be secure in our routines and things that we're comfortable with, things that we know, and we can forget that God's always wanting to do a new thing in us. And so I just want to challenge you with that, as I just talk about a few opportunities. And again, you search God's heart and ask him where he wants you to be ministering, you know, and whether it's just to your neighbor across the street, you know, whether it's another organization or expectations, but what does God want you to do to put your faith into action? So, of course, like I said, financial support is just so necessary in what we do. And so I'm just going to go through a few opportunities. Opportunity one coming up is March 14 and 15. It's one of our largest fundraising events of the year. It's completely online. It's just called Raise the Region, and it's just to raise funds for nonprofits in the area, that you can go on the Raise the Region website and you can choose to donate online to some of your favorite nonprofits, the work that you believe in. And so we invite you to check that out and consider making a donation to Expectations through that opportunity. Opportunity number two, we said we want to increase just our partnership with supporting churches and individuals. And so we did have a community conversations here back, I think it was in the fall, but we want to continue to have those and invite you all to come and be part of that. I'm just sharing a snippet of what Expectations does. But community conversations are an opportunity for you to come, to meet the whole staff, to learn a little bit more of what we do on a day-to-day basis, and to ask questions. And so on Saturday, March 17th, from 9 to 10:15, we're having another community conversations down at our Lewisburg Center. And so it's another great opportunity, too, if you've never seen our new center, to come and have a little tour, and also just to hear more of our heart for the work that we're doing. Opportunity three, okay, so one of our goals is to grow our volunteer staff. So we are having a new training. We hold trainings twice a year, and our spring training here is coming up starting Thursday, March 29th, and we'll run on Thursdays through April 26th and also two Saturdays, and it is a series. But we're looking for people to serve as client advocates, you know, actually meeting with clients, and also receptionists to just answer the phone, greet clients when they come in, offer them a drink, you know, help them get some paperwork done that they might need to do. So we have morning, afternoon, and evening shifts available. You know, maybe you're retired, maybe you work part-time, but maybe this would be something God would be calling you to. I'd love to talk with you more about that. Opportunity number four, this is a brand new opportunity. Anybody a runner out there? Oh boy. I see like, well, maybe I am. Anybody a walker? Does anybody walk? Got a lot more walkers than runners. But in April, we're holding our first 5K fun run and walk, and that's going to be held up in Indian Park in Montoursville. And so if you want to support us in that way, get out and just meet other people and help to raise money for the work that we do, we would invite you to consider that. And then I think I have just one more. Okay, so I know we have golfers in our church. we have, I think this might be our fourth or fifth annual golf tournament, and that's going to be held Friday, May 11th at Winding Brook Golf Course in Milton, and it's a four-person scramble team registration fee, but then there's other fun prizes and challenges and things like that. Again, thank you guys so much for, I'm just proud to be part of a church family that that does value life and that values being missional in faraway places, but also in local places too. So just wanna thank you. And your prayers, of course, are the most important thing. I appreciate your prayers as I try to lead our center and our volunteers and our programs. And just to pray for clients and for the Lord to just continue to bring those that he would have us to minister to. So I'll be hanging around after church. So if you want to ask any questions, learn anything more, I would be delighted to share with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that ministry. Ushers, would you plan to come and receive an offering for Expectation Center? I just want to say as they come, how much I say amen to what you said, Shauna. I think the church needs to be a safe place for people to come, no matter who they are or what they believe or where they've been. And we want to do that. And we want to say to people, part of our church family, that we love you. And if you have caring, as Shauna said, there's no less of a feeling of you're God's child or that God has a plan for your life in any way, and how to convey that and say that so that our church is a safe place for people to seek God's help and healing and forgiveness. We want to do that. And we're just grateful for all the ways. We have a lot of people that volunteer in different ways in this area, and that's tremendous. And we thank you for that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this ministry. Thank you for life. Thank you for, Lord, the privilege and opportunity to love and care for people. I pray that you'd help us as a church to do whatever you lay in front of us and give us that opportunity. Thank you for Expectations. Pray you would bless them as they minister to men and women and babies and grandparents and, Lord, a teaching force in this community and others around us. Pray that you would bless this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. today. Glad you're here. Those that are sick, hope you're feeling better, and everybody's going to be healthy by next Sunday. I just know that. Have a great week. God bless.